Help me. Help. I see you in help. I see you in help.
So for this week, I'm glad I actually picked up this book because before recording, you guys accidentally went to each other's houses, right?
Right.
Yeah, I went to Kenny's place. His uncle was there.
You almost basically broke into my uncle's house.
Nah, yeah, because the hood is like right around it. So I think he would have been a little scared. He says, black man just knocking on his fucking
door. Confidently opening the door.
Well, I didn't see. I saw your little cat in the window. So I was like, oh, hey, put my little hand up. The cat like went to smell my hand. And I like, you should cut the tree branch, by the way. You got a big old tree branch that hangs over your porch.
What, are you on my uncle's side? You want me to do fucking forever?
I'm walking, I hit my head in the tree branch. What the fuck is this? And I'm like yelling shit. And I like walk up and go to like open the door. See him just watching a movie.
An old drunk man.
I was like,
he was just sitting there like, please just kill me. He was like, let this be the thing. If you would have walked in, he was like, just make it quick. God damn it, I have nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But, there probably does need to be a little bit more organization in your guys' lives. I picked up The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo.
The Japanese woman who tells you to throw away shit that is cool.
Yeah, like they threw away 30 million lives in World War II? Is that what we're doing? Is that what the Japanese love cleaning up? Because you guys did a real great job of cleaning the streets of innocent women and children.
God damn.
And we're not talking about an end game.
I hate that shit. It's shit where it's like, oh, does this thing bring you joy? And it's like, yeah, maybe not right now, but I'm sure like a month from now, I'd be like, where's that cool thing? And it's like, oh, yeah, I threw that away. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, this shit all tell you clean up, and then you, yeah, maybe I don't need this thing now. But then
also, I don't know if that works all the time. You get to a heroin addict, you pick up a syringe, like, does this thing bring me joy? And you're like, actually, the most. Like, this is actually the most joy I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't need it, but maybe a week from now, I want to play with a laser pointer. Now I can't find my fucking laser pointer. He's going to throw it away.
So so you guys are a little familiar with her already?
This is a Netflix show, too, right?
Yeah, she got a Netflix show.
If we really had to clean up, we would just pick up the Netflix show and toss it into a trash.
Remove all the things that you don't need. Cool. What about the $30 million they gave you to just tell people to throw shit away?
Yeah. But she's been called the most organized woman in the world.
Is she?
So,
you know, it really doesn't take that.
It's some pretty low standard. Not like, you know, Angela Merkel or like Michelle Obama. Marie Kondo, Netflix star.
Makes her bet. You know? All those basic hijinks.
Most organized woman in the world.
Yeah. So she starts off her little book with like
it better be a short book too. It's supposed to clean it. It better be a 6-page fucking book.
I mean, how long can the book clean up? I don't know, it
was around 250 pages.
That's trash. Why don't you toss some of those sentences in the goddamn garbage?
So she opens up her book with, you know, like why you should trust her bona fides.
Well, do you really need credentials to tell someone to clean their room?
Oh, you gotta wait.
My mom
didn't
have to like list what school she went to when she was telling me to make my bed.
If you're trying to write any book and market it to the West, you just got to be like, because I'm Japanese and you don't know anything about this culture.
Right.
Because anime is weird, so do what I tell you to do.
Yeah. But so she says she devoted 80% of her life to the subject of tidying up.
What a well wasted life.
What are you?
What a miserable.
A Buddhist monk of cleaning.
At the end of your life, like, what did she do? She just like made sure her bed was real made every day. Just really.
Yeah, she said she started reading home and lifestyle magazines when she was 5 years old, and she, you know, she read all them.
what unimaginative 5-year old?
5-year old. What else is playing outside?
I was like, pretend I was a dragon or something. She's out here reading a magazine about linens. You're supposed to be into that when you're like 40, you got nothing else going on, and you just need to have like nice shit around your house to impress friends you don't really like anymore.
You see, if my 7-year-old walking in the kitchen, he's like, "Dad, I really think that you should throw out the carpet because it doesn't really match the wall."
I'd be like, get
the fuck out of my
fucking
house.
Serious right now.
You possess, get the fuck out
of here. Yeah, you cover yourself in mud and crawl around outside. Fucking child.
She said she would read Amazing Tips for Removing Stains and Grease.
At 7. No tag, no jungle gym. She's concerned about scrubbing grease off the floor. Was her mother a Roomba? Like, what the fuck is going on here? No one actually enjoys fucking cleaning. You either do it because that's like the only job you could do, or you just because you need to feel less of a mess.
Yeah, but she said she would save the tips and dream of trying them out when she got home.
Dream of cream. This sounds like a lie that like a conservative would say about people. Like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people in this country. They grow up just dreaming of the ability to clean grease off my floor. That literally, when they were kids, they draw the vision board is just my floor that they're cleaning.
Isn't that right, Maria? Si, senor. Oh, shit.
There's literally, if that is your dream in life.
His sister's got poses of Ryan Gosling and shit. She's got fucking...
She's got grease Mr. Clean, on the floor.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Hanging up on the fucking wall.
And she said it was those magazines in her initial life that inspired her from the age of 15 to undertake a serious study of tidying that led her to develop
You know, it really does not take a lot.
What did she go to school for?
Well, she says at school, while the other kids were playing dodgeball or skipping, she'd say she'd slip away to rearrange the bookshelves in the classroom.
So this sounds like a kid with horribly misdiagnosed OCD that we're celebrating. While everyone else was playing, she would rearrange the books 32 times because she thought her parents were going to die otherwise.
She said in high school she would even call up the manufacturers of particularly intriguing storage items and ask the receptionist to tell the story of how they were invented.
Yeah, that receptionist is going through a miserable time.
Said, get the fuck off. Never call on this fucking line again.
Call 911. Like, immediately. Can you imagine that? You're just a bored receptionist and some kids, little kids, like, so can you tell me the story on how Tide cleaning product got up? You're just like, I don't have health care. I don't have time.
Yeah. And she said if she noticed her family hadn't used, like, their clothes in a while, she would throw them away.
Well, that's a nice way to get the shit beat out of you. No, Mom, I just threw away your lingerie because I noticed you haven't used that in a long time. The dad's like, you know what? Maybe she's got a point. Honey. Honey, do you want ice cream? How about you go in there?
Talk about oh, shit.
Yeah. And when they would notice after a while if she threw out something that they used, she said, I threw it out for you because you weren't capable of doing it. Right. She would tell her parents that.
And they'd be like, so you don't have to eat for the next 2 days because you're not capable of making anything, right?
I would not.
So you'd go live on the streets because you're not capable of making...
I wouldn't have an ass.
Right.
I would have been beaten off of my body.
It would have shot me. I would have been cut in 14 pieces with a machete and turned into a...
Threw my dad's fucking clothes away.
Murdered. God damn. You're not capable to do it. What a weird...
I'm capable to feed you, you little
8-year-old's
shit.
Pulling up some, like, drill sergeant shit.
I'm capable to go to work so you
throwing
have
shit
the
away.
Yeah, and she ends it saying, whether it was my own room, my siblings' room, or even my school, I spent my days examining what was in the drawers and cupboards and moving things a few millimeters at a time, trying to find the perfect arrangement.
So this is mental illness. I mean, this is like severe
OCD. Really...
This is ridiculous.
I do think there is a certain joy she gets in tidying up that many of us don't. I feel like this book is definitely filtered through a very unique perception.
You remember what you were doing when you were 5?
Not me either.
I was just having blissful childish fun. So, I mean, yeah, I didn't write a book about how I was a cleaning style lunatic.
Yeah, what is she like? Did she like document this like in a journey?
No, this should be like in the school file when they're like, my God. She said her family was just stains that needed to be cleaned and murdered all of them and threw them away. She said she did it because they didn't have the strength to throw away. She says humanity's a stain on the earth. And
it is like a manifesto.
Yeah. So why you should tidy up, the like whole magic of it is that...
See, also, these books, they feel like they need to explain very basic. Listen, I understand why my shock should be off the floor. I understand why you should have a clean. You just live like a fucking human being.
I understand why
clean
I
up.
Need to do things, and I understand why I don't do them.
You get why you should lose weight.
I should clean.
You get why you should eat healthy. Yeah. You get all of it. But yeah, it's just sucks. You don't do it.
Yeah, she says, she says it has more benefits than just it's something you should do. She says it's life transforming. It causes dramatic changes in both your lifestyle and perspective.
That's kind of true sometimes, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be fair, like, I'm already pretty militantly clean because I went through a little JP phase in the dark days. And
JP?
Jordan Peterson.
Oh,
so,
really?
I clean up.
Is your guy? You following them?
No, I don't like him, but I think he has a one good tip of you know, just clean up your room, which the same tip any dad would have. So I like
to make my bed every morning. There's the other good tips where he's like, you know, it's kind of supporting white supremacist people.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm not a fan of them anymore. I've lost it, you know. But, you know, someone screams at you to clean your room in a Canadian accent, it's kind of funny. It's kind of a good time. That's true. So,
When it's like, there was definitely a thing like you live in like a dirty room, and if you're like, your life's kind of like when my life is like super disorganized and like shit's just not going well, my room is like fucking ridiculous because I'm just not. You're not getting shit. Like, if you can't, like, even get your fucking room together, then it's like you're not going to get your
life. Do you think your room reflects your mental state, or your room, do you think changing your room could change your mental state?
I think it's both.
Like, I think it is both.
It reflects your mental state, but also, like, cleaning it up.
I mean, if I walk into someone's room and it's a pile of shit, I'm like, oh, you're an idiot.
When I get, like, my every 3 months where I'm like, all right, let's get shit together for, like, a week or so, the first thing I do is I clean my fucking room up because it makes me, like,
makes you feel.
It's the smallest thing you can do. It's the smallest thing you can do to like not be a piece of shit.
Also, I was reading an article once. It's like happy people are actually more disorganized because they're not that attached. They're just too busy being happy, right? But miserable people, they actually stay clean as fuck because cleaning your room is like one of the most first steps for depression. So you basically every time you make your bed, you're like, they can't get on me. I have a fucking clean bed. I have my life together. I got it all together. But like, you know, happy people are out like, oh, who even cares? I'll throw my fucking shirt on the ground. But me, I'm like, this shirt needs to be pressed because I have no self-worth. You know, that's all I have. So
yeah. Well, she says a lot of time cleaning like that is masking. Like you clean so you don't focus on what's going on inside.
Says the lady at 7 years old who was fucking rearranging her house. I'm like, yeah, maybe.
I imagine that her parents just went through like a bitter divorce because you were finding anything to take your mind off of.
So why you should do it? It can cause some dramatic changes in your own life. Like some of her testimonials from people said, after you know reading the book, I quit my job and launched my own business, doing something I dreamed of doing ever since I was a child.
Yeah, but you can't do that just because like your sheets are clean. Yeah, you know, like that doesn't just automatically make you have a savings.
Would you clean? You clean and you found $20,000 under your fucking bed.
Your room's so dirty that you've actually just found.
Oh shit! A small business loan.
It turns out I have a great credit score under all of these clothes. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, someone said your course taught me to see what I really need and what I don't. So I got a divorce. Now I feel much happier.
I just imagine him picking up everything in his room. He's like, does this thing make me happy? Does this thing make me happy? Looks at his wife and he's like, no. Tries to shove her into a trash can.
If I'm just in what I think is a happy marriage and she's like, so I clean the garage and we're done.
Yeah. I'd be like, you really think you're better than me now that your room is clean? Like that's
such an insane thing to be like. I just can't be held back anymore now that like I iron my shirts. You know, it's just.
Someone said, someone I've been wanting to get in touch with recently contacted me after I tidied up.
So it's just a pure, that's what we like to call a coincidence in the book. That's not, clean my room and then, yeah, I just won the lottery. And you're like, that's not how that works.
And this person said, I'm delighted to report that since cleaning up my apartment, I have been able to really increase my sales at work.
Yeah, all these are just
coincidences, man. It's not a fucking.
No, you just does have nothing to. I, the most you could say about it is like quitting a room makes you feel. I do it. It just makes you feel like a competent human being.
Yeah, you got shit together, basically.
And also, you want people when you invite someone over.
Oh, so I gotta bring.
You want them to think you got your shit together.
Your women's especially another week, I gotta bring
guy
people
friend,
over,
they
man.
I could invite them to a literal dumpster. I couldn't give less of a shit. Like, yeah, I sleep on just a carcass.
I Febreze it down if I bring a girl over.
Yeah, but that's. That's almost shameful that you said.
The Febreze?
And then it smells
we just wanted to smell nice.
I used to Febreze it down when like I smoked weed in my house and my mom was that's not really great, dude.
You just want it to be...
No, you want to have like a kid. You want to have like art that's like random. You're like, is that
else
Van
in your room?
Goes? And you're like, oh yeah, he was a bud.
You get used to your smell. You bring somebody else in your room and they'll be like, it smells nasty. You're like, I didn't even know because...
Oh, no, no. No, I'm not saying you don't spray it down. I'm just saying you do more than Febreze. You fucking...
Oh, yeah,
take
yeah.
That. You light a candle or something.
Yeah. If you have Febreze, if it smells like Febreze, it's usually a sign that you're hiding hiding something.
That sounds like something that like a literal mom would say. Just, no, I think 80% of Febreze is just used by nervous high schoolers after they just smoked weed.
What do you mean you're hiding? So, yeah, hiding like fart and drug. Like,
that's what Febreze is for. I don't know why in high school we thought that was genius, because it's like, yeah, I just came home from working up, the house smells like X and Febreze. I just got done hanging out with Jimmy, you know? We just went, we grabbed some fast food, and then we literally bathed in X and Febreze. I would always come home. I came home literally smelling like I had just dove into a pool of cologne. Yeah. But I'd love to have that Febreze commercial. Like, it's on. It's like, Febreze. It's like, fuck, my mom said she wouldn't be home. And it's just like, spray it. Your nerve very clearly violently high.
So I guess the major problem that she identified with tidying up after her, like, years of studying from, like, age 15 to, like, 25 or something, she said that for a lot of people who tidy up, it seems like nothing stays tidy for long, and people always rebound or whatever. They go back to having an untidy apartment after their big day of tidying up.
Well, it's also that's not the rebound. It's just life happens. You just live day by day, and then you.
Well,
not everybody has three hours to
clean every goddamn day. Yeah.
Her method solves that. So her solution to this problem where things after you clean them up they never seem to stay clean is that you should just throw things away. That's her big solution.
Wait. It's because paradox. As long as you have things, can never be clean, kill everyone, right? Like, that just seems to be the only way. Because if life will always be permanently unclean, the cleanest thing that there is the sweet oblivion of death.
Look outside, all I see is filthiness.
All I see is filth.
You walk into her house one day and her parents are just hooked up to like formaldehyde tubes running through her. She's like, finally. But yeah, so her solution to keep things tidy is to throw most things away. Throw things away unless they her words spark joy in your
shit,
life.
Dude. I mean, I don't even have an iPhone case right now, man. Like, I'm out of here. I'm about minimalist. I don't actually own an apartment or house. I'm squatting at some. I have a bed that was which isn't my bed. It's the guest bed. I think after I leave, it'll be someone who actually enjoys sleeping there for a period of time. I have my clothes. Everything I own can be thrown in trash bags nervously on the way to a Megabus station. Like, that's,
oh shit, I hate the Megabus, man.
I'm about to take it to St. Louis later this month, and it's gonna be,
how long is the ride?
I think it's like an 8 to 2. I think we're talking a 6-hour Megabus ride.
That's not, I took the shit to, I was what, 12 hours maybe
taking those change you. Megabus bus station is one of the saddest places.
First off, these motherfuckers almost lost my shit because I put it on like a little pile where you get in the bus station. So they don't have like a, they don't have a, there's nothing. Megabus doesn't check your bag. They don't give a fuck. They don't check
your
bag. I've
thought about that multiple times. I'm like, I could just be smuggling heroin.
You know what,
right?
I'm saying? Megabus don't check your bags. You can bring guns. You can bring whatever the fuck you want. You just put your bags in a pile and they give a little ticket. You wrap your ticket around it and then they put it on the bus for you. So I go, I'm like, where the fuck's my bag at? And I gotta check the bus that I'm supposed to get on is pulling up. I'm like, what the fuck? And I see another bus pulling off, and I have to run down and get the bus. I'm like, my bag's on your fucking bus. And he's not like, oh my god, I'm sorry. Like, shit. He was like, well, hurry up, I got places to go.
So like, Megabus feels like you're like skipping town. Megabus feels like you're there's a warrant out for your arrest, and you need. Dude,
he told me you have 30 seconds. I was like, you're not leaving with my shit. Right. What the fuck are you talking about?
I remember
about?
I showed up to Megabus, only one with luggage. Everyone else put all their clothes in a literal trash bag. They were just saying.
Yeah, the Megabus is bad, man. But it'll get you. You know a guy got his head cut off on one in Canada? Did you know that?
I mean, I assume.
There's one in Canada where a guy pulled out a pocket knife and turned the guy next to him and cut his fucking head off, and nobody stopped
him. But also,
you
know what? You know what it'll cost me? $5. You know what? I might risk decapitate because, like, I was thinking, like, do I ball? Do I take the Amtrak to St. Louis? And I was like,
you can take Amtrak.
And
bad.
I was like, yeah, you'd feel. But then I saw the tickets altogether, $10. That's how much money I just spent on beer and snacks.
That's like if I'm trying to, like, if I'm like balling out of Subway.
You understand? $10 for a round trip to another part of the country? I'm like, are you fucking with me right now? I was like, yeah, I don't give a shit.
And then we only had one stop, which was the
Dude, they always stop at a gas station.
We always stopped at McDonald's.
Oh, well, look at you. Look at you, fans, mister. Okay.
You can get food and bathroom in.
They would always stop at a gas station. They would kind of make it like sound like we were being smuggled. They're like, make it quick and like get
back. What were you saying?
How cool is it, though, to stop at the McDonald's when you're on the mega bus for 2 hours? That's like the best when you get to get out.
That's not bad.
No, you do. You feel excited by like the small city. Like the air moves out here. I don't smell. Then
you get the ball
urine
out on the poor megabus. Come back on McDonald's. Like, oh, you didn't get McDonald's. Oh, that sucks, man. I took a piss and got a cheeseburger, but I guess you're just gonna be hungry, huh?
Yeah. I think the worst part is though when you like go to sleep and then you wake up and it's for some reason there's like the police come on the bus.
They
and, like, go
you?
Around.
They didn't check our shit like that.
Yeah, I've never had a police call.
Really? You never
That's
had a police
like
checkpoint?
I feel like it was another one of those Cole things you're trying to relate something to us that has never happened to anybody else.
That's why I'm taking the megabus, nigga, because there's no fucking cops on the megabus.
It's just one of those things where you fall asleep and then sirens are everywhere and you're covered in blood and you're like, no.
No, they have police checkpoints a lot.
I think that depends. Well, were you going like in and out of the country? Where were you going?
Just up to Wisconsin.
That's never happened to me. I used to take the one from
New Mexico to Tijuana, maybe.
to Atlanta, and nothing ever happened.
Yeah, I also had those checkpoints when I took the bus in Mexico, but those were a lot scarier because the guns the police had were like huge,
a little higher stakes.
It's because the guns the people on the bus have are bigger.
Yeah,
fucking.
No, but we were just a bus. It was all just university kids. I don't know what they thought they
this
were.
Is the perfect bus to take if I'm trying to transport 75 pounds of fucking heroin.
Yeah, I know. They're like, it's all just the people that would demographically most likely use drugs. I don't understand why they were on to us. You know?
What are you doing?
He's trying to kill a fly. He did. Shit. Guys.
Itch.
I'll see you in help, listeners. I have witnessed.
Yeah, maybe you guys in here.
Call me to accomplish something.
I just,
put this in
I don't know if you guys here. I just use this electric
Dude,
fly saber.
Dude, just murdered a fly.
Just zap the fuck out of this bitch.
Yeah.
I was also, when I studied abroad in Mexico, I remember it was very hard to get any weed in there at all. And
did
I remember
get weed to Mexico
guy,
or did you get weed from Mexico, like in Mexico?
In Mexico.
Yeah, but who were you talking to? Were you talking to the fellow university? I'm sure if you would have like went up the street and talked to a cartel member, you could get
it's
you
a little
some
different.
Weed.
In Latin America, it's like a little frowned upon.
Weed?
Just drugs in general. They're not like.
Yeah, but that's not Latin America. That's North America still, technically. You know, you think it's frowned upon to smoke weed in Mexico?
In general, it's a lot less popular than the United States. It's like seen as like a weirder thing.
Really? What about is it like are they like that with all drugs or like?
I mean, all drugs, other drugs especially more, but like it's not as common.
Really?
Yeah, sure. There's a giant smuggling bit, but that's not. But most people like they drink a lot, but like if you, it'd be like rare for people to smoke weed.
Really?
Yeah. I remember talking. Well, I talked to the university students that were going to university there.
These are Mexicans?
Like they were Mexican students at a Mexican university. Mm. I remember talking to him, and he told me he could get me some, and then I never saw him after that.
That's such a dark tale. And then he was being beheaded
what
on a dark
fuck?
Website. What the hell?
You got a kid killed.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
As soon as you said that, the
university student was murdered trying to buy you weed. You
told the gringo about our operation. Fucking got shot in the face. Great. Well, that's
the
story.
Next time
I
saw
him
was on
LiveLeak.com.
He had a chance out of his neck.
Yeah. So.
Did you used to smoke weed like that in college?
No. I barely ever did.
Mm. I think that was just Cole trying to be cool. Just trying to be.
Like, you barely ever did, but you were one that in Mexico,
right? You're really ready to put your life on the line.
In a
here.
Foreign country, and you're like, let me try to buy some. Right.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't really trying to buy it. It was other people that were in the same group as me.
That's one of the things that scares you. The idea of even getting caught with drugs in like a foreign country, especially one like that, where it's like, yeah, I'm about
to pay people off.
What do you say? You say that, but you might get the cop who's like, nah, I'm one of the real ones.
You know what they call those? Americans. There's actually literally no such thing. Yeah, no, it'd be fine. It would work out.
It sucks that we don't have that system here. Like, why can't
you do, but you don't. Like you're Brock Turner, like, yeah, it's fine. But
I'm saying, like, Mexico and Russia and shit, it's like, yeah, you get pulled over, you just, you know, here's $25, leave me alone. Whereas here, they're like, no, we'll shoot you in the face, but I'm not going to take a bribe.
I mean, it's usually a lot more than $25. Especially if they grab an American person.
Oh no, they grab you're paying up.
But still, like imagine how many people here would be like, yeah, I'd rather just pay you $100, you let me go, than you shoot my unarmed unarmed wife because I got weed in the car.
Right.
Well, they when I was there, one of the people in our group, they stepped outside the hotel with a beer bottle, and like within 10 seconds, the police grabbed them and put them in their car and then drove a block away. And they said, we're going to like put you in jail if you don't pay us $150. And yeah, they wouldn't let him leave.
Yeah, that's 100%. Yeah, my cousin was saying that. We were like driving through, pretty much drug driving.
In El Salvador?
Yeah, but I mean, he was saying.
Yeah, I mean, what are they enforcing that really? Like, at a civil war like 10 years ago. Drunk driving is high on the like, fucking agenda.
It's like, it's really the only way you can get out of bed.
You need
morning,
to build some roads for me to drive on.
But he would say that like people get like pulled over by the police and then they just like take your phones unless they like initially pay them off and shit like that.
So oh, it's
like,
really?
Yeah, they're just like they'll just like make up a problem for you to have to solve. You know? they'll just arrest you for a crime that they made up on the spot.
So yeah, so she says, you know, throw things out if it doesn't give you joy, and you can tell this by like touching things. So like if you know if you want to keep a shirt or not, you touch it, and if your body reacts to it, then you should keep it.
Who has a physical rate? I don't own a single shirt that I think is so cool that my body's like, oh.
What are you, a serial killer? Yeah, souvenirs? Yeah. touching bloodstain?
Yeah, yeah.
Bloodstain long season?
I can't throw this one off. That was the first one.
This was October 2nd, 1994.
Yeah, yeah.
23 years old, jogger at UFI. Can't throw that away.
Fuck.
Just going by this advice, there's probably not a lot in my closet that...
Elicits a
keep.
Physical response.
Yeah. Well, there's also a lot of things I would own that I would say give me joy.
Dude, that's what I say. I besides my phone, that's probably the closest. My clothes.
And even then, you could just say porn, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we could just get to. Yeah. I mean, if the public library were to really be truly free and answer my petition, answer the laws in which Ron Paul is trying to pass to get a how many times have been pulled from a library, jerking off, screaming, "It's my tax dollars to do what I goddamn want." But
has never heard of a room.
Yeah.
Like, there's no. No matter the quality or the fabric or print of a sock, it's never gonna...
Yeah, never really gonna get me excited. Never gonna go, fuck yeah, gonna. Who's looking at these socks like, this one needs to go, but let me tell you, this one. Dude. I mean, you'd have to be insane. Like, even some shirts that I like really like, I'm like, yeah, it's a shirt. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be like, fuck yeah, dude.
Like, I need to wear clothes. Yeah, I'm not like, throwing my clothes away.
There's shit that you need that's not great, you know?
Yeah, but she says that for everything. And there's like lots, like most of my like toothbrush, like
my toothbrush doesn't bring me joy. I need it.
Right.
Yeah.
I brush my teeth in the morning. Like I'm having a great time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really excited.
This is great.
I love you, Mr. Toothbrush. I love your bristles. But yeah, so that's her criteria. Judge the response after you touch things. Yeah, she says clothes are the easiest. Photographs and leathers are the hardest because they have sentimental value and they should be left until last.
Again, what kind of hard like concentration camp love when they made us throw away everything that we loved? Like keep shit like that. I don't know. Why throw that away?
Well, she says the purpose is like keeping a gift. Like if you don't like enjoy using it or whatever, you shouldn't keep it because the purpose has been fulfilled when you received it. Like the purpose of the gift was for the person to like show you that they like you or whatever.
No, it's not even close.
Can you imagine
close.
Giving someone a gift and they're like, "Well, I think we're done here."
Where's the
right?
PS4 that I got you? And you're like, "But you already you used it when you gave it to me.
Right.
I threw it away, man.
No, I pawned it."
Yeah, like I can imagine buying her gifts for Christmas. She's like, "Oh, I acknowledge that you gave this to me, and I like that, but I'm just gonna throw this shirt in the trash." Right,
I'm like, "How about you just hand it back? How about you just? There's no risk."
So you do it all in one go. She says a lot of advice tells you to start slowly and just discard things like once per day. But she says those are lovely words to ease the hearts of those who lack confidence in their ability to.
Why
tidy.
Does it all have to be some weird like warlord? Proverb for cleaning your room. Those are what those that are too weak to fight in battle would say. And you're like, we're talking about like spring cleaning here, right? We're talking about getting breaking out the vacuum, not a sword to avenge someone's death.
So yes, and you should go through your items in a quiet space. You shouldn't have any music playing or anything, because she says the noise makes it harder to hear the internal dialogue between the owner and his or her belongings.
Imagine if your uncle walks in on you as like, I don't know, TV. It's like, you've been with me for so many years. And you're like, oh, sorry, we're just sorting something out, right?
Hey, well, I'm just having a bit of a dialogue. I'm trying to figure out how I feel about this thing. He'd be like, all right, we're done.
Feel you should get the fuck out of my house.
This is all my ends of my uncle discarding me, just kicking me into the car.
Yeah. So put it all in a pile, then start going through it. And she says, with clothes, watch out. Don't demote things you don't wear into like loungewear or whatever. Because some people don't get rid of clothes. They just wear them around the house.
Yeah, but that's not getting, you're like, that's just a different purpose. Yeah. You know, like I have that where it's like, there's no point in looking good all the time.
He says there's clothes out there that are specifically for loungewear and you should wear those instead.
Oh my gosh, she says, so I got to go out and buy like a fucking bathrobe and shit. Nothing pisses me. Those people are normal, by the way. You go over to somebody's house, you get a bathrobe. I'm like, what the fuck?
Bathrobe's a
fucking rude. Hugh Hefner. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, I was like, how much free time do you
let's
have?
Let's establish it. If you don't own a home, you should not be wearing a fucking bathrobe.
Right, yeah. There's not a mortgage attached to your name. If you own zero stock, you should not see a bathrobe. Two people own bathrobe. Drug dealers and successful business.
Yeah. She says, if you are a woman, try wearing something elegant as nightwear instead. The worst thing you can do is to wear a sloppy sweatsuit.
Yeah, if you're a woman, how about you try to whore it up at night? You know, just really put on a show for your name. Don't get all fucking lazy just because it's around your house.
Yeah, basketball shorts and a t-shirt.
Ashley, you better bring it. Even if you're lying around.
Yeah, she says the worst thing you can do is wear a sloppy sweatsuit. I occasionally meet people who dress like this all the time, whether waking or sleeping.
God forbid.
If sweatpants.
God forbid you have a moment of comfort and peace on this world. All right? I want you to put on a fucking tight onesie.
God forbid.
Yeah, put on some lingerie.
You should be sleeping in a fucking thong.
What, to entertain that weird neighbor who you try to avoid eye contact with? At every turn?
He says, the sweatpants are your everyday attire. You'll end up looking like you belong in them, which is not very attractive. What you wear in the house does impact your self-image.
I really like how in the middle of the cleanliness, he just turns into a real high school mean girl. In the middle of, you wear sweatpants because you think you belong in them. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the meanest in eighth grade. Those really fit you.
Yeah. Oh. What a just on point.
You should fold, not hang your clothes, because the real benefit of folding is that you handle each piece of clothing, and as you run your hands over the cloth, you pour your energy into it.
Oh, nice. Energy.
Yeah, I also just mess
up. It's not a good self-help book unless energy's brought up. Everyone's all on energy. You ever felt energy in your life? Let me tell you, I fucking haven't. I'm tired of everyone talking about the energy and energy. I don't feel shit, dude.
I've seen it one fucking time.
I've never yet to see this energy everyone's talking about.
She says, she also said Japanese people quickly grasp the pleasure that comes from folding clothes almost as if they were genetically programmed for this task.
This is a 1946 CIA guide to Japan. Right.
Well, we're all basically robots anyway, so I mean, we gotta enjoy.
Almost as if they were uniquely designed to fold the cloth. Japanese slave owner's guidebook. The Japanese made
it's certain ridges in their skull that allow them to be very so good at.
She says, fold most clothes, but hang any clothes that look like they would be happier hung up.
Look like they'd be happier hung up. Fucking, I'd be happier hung up than listen to this goddamn shit. Tell you that.
She says, clothes like people reacts more freely when in the company of others who are very similar to them. And so organizing them by category helps them feel more comfortable and secure.
Oh boy.
It's funny because of all the self-help, it's like there's nothing more reasonable than like cleaning your room. And I'm like, well, how could she fuck this up? But she's like, you got to make sure your clothes energy. Your clothes are, clothes they want to hang like, out with their friends.
Clothes right? Like people are better separate. On paper, it may seem that a diverse array of clothes maybe may work.
It all goes into some weird. But in the end, it turns out that it really dirties and brings down the collective worth of all the
clothes. Have you ever walked into a department store? The jeans are not located near the sneakers, just as the socks are not located near the hats.
All we're saying is...
Which brings me to my final conclusion. Africa for the Africans, Asians for the Asians, white countries for everybody.
Yeah, she's like, when you see a sock mix in the company of underwear, you feel a little deceived. Unease.
Deceived is pretty. That's a pretty Richard Spencer way to put that shit.
The mixed child, much like the long john, is simply uncomfortable. Is it a shirt? Is it a pant? Do you see how easily confusion grasps the human mind?
Both neither and both.
What are we going to talk about, Dave Chappelle? What are you going to fucking cancel this?
Yeah. She's getting out of here.
You're in race theory when she's talking about fucking clothes and shit.
And then she really is into how we treat our clothes and stuff. She says, have you ever had the experience where you thought what you were doing was a good thing, but later learned that it had hurt someone? At the time, you're totally oblivious to the other person's feelings.
I watched that Netflix documentary about the porn industry.
That was brutal.
Yeah. At the time, you were totally unconcerned, oblivious to other people's feelings. She says, this is somewhat similar to the way many of us treat our socks.
She saw how sixth grade me treated my socks. Jesus Christ. Didn't give a single shit about what happened to that.
Yeah. She says, clothes that have been shut up for years look wilted as if instead let some light and air in them occasionally. Open the drawer and run your hands over the contents. Let them know you still care and look forward to wearing them when they are next in season. This kind of communication helps your clothes stay vibrant and keeps your relationship with them alive longer. So, yeah, she's really into relationships with clothes.
With socks.
I think some of this stems from her childhood.
Where everyone else is having fun and she's alone. Like, the socks are of a special energy if you talk to them.
The most difficult things to throw away are those that give you moderate pleasure, but we are pursuing perfection in the field of tidying, so.
I mean, that's a decent breakup text.
That is
moderate perfection, but I am
pursuing perfection.
Pursuing perfection, baby.
God, that would just be a cold knife to the heart, my man.
Yeah, so she gives an example of like when she goes home. She says everything should have its own place. So she says this is her routine when she goes home from work every day. So she'll unlock the door and announce to my house, I'm home. Then she'll pick up a pair of shoes she wore yesterday and left out in the entryway and say, thank you very much for your hard work. And she'll put them in the shoe cupboard. And then she takes off her shoes she wore today and put them where those shoes were. She says, I put the kettle on and I go to my bedroom. There I lay my handbag gently on the soft sheepskin rug and take off my outdoor clothes. I put my jacket and dress on a hanger and say, good job, and then hang them temporarily from a closet doorknob.
Every time she says good job to the jacket, there's a person duct taped in her closet crying slowly. She's like, good job, jacket. I'll get to you soon. It's the guy like, kill me. Just fucking get it over with.
I put my tights in a laundry basket that fits into the bottom right corner of my closet, open a drawer, select the clothes I feel like wearing inside, and get dressed. I greet the waist-high potted plant by the window and stroke its leaves. My next task is to empty the contents of my handbag on the rug and put each item away in its place. First, I remove all the receipts, then I put my wallet in its designated box in a drawer under my bed with the word of gratitude. I place my train pass in my business card holder beside it. I put my wristwatch in a pink antique case in the same drawer.
First 10 pages of American Psycho. Yeah. Put my briefcase down and passed.
But I was looking online and I was looking at like criticisms of her. And like, people were saying that any criticism of it was inherently racist.
That's hilarious.
Due to ignorance of Asian and specifically Japanese culture.
I think it's more hurtful to be like, yeah, hey, like you don't understand. Talking to socks is an age-old tradition in Japan. whatever you say that, you're like, well, then they're wrong. I hate to break it to them, you know. It's like, well,
they say that that stuff comes from because she's into like Shintoism or whatever, where you believe that like everything has like a little soul or something.
Except for Chinese people, apparently. Apparently, that's the only thing Japanese people really not into. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. See you in hell. With a P. With a P, yeah, baby. Coming
back this week, organized life, organized mind. How's it going?
I don't know if I would ever call my life organized or my mind organized. I keep a pretty clean job because I went through a Jordan Peterson phase. So I make my bed when I wake up in the morning. I put all my clothes away, but I did the tip where she like pick up each thing and say, does this bring you joy? Which, listen, that'll bring you to some hellish introspection. Because, like, first off, you have like an outfit that you're like, that's kind of like your fuck you outfit. Like, you bring that out. Like, people are like, God damn it, people are going to respect me. Do you have that?
Oh, what, you mean like if you, like,
like a nice outfit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that. But then every time I go out, I feel like someone's like, oh, I saw that at Target. Then I didn't buy it because I realized I had a job, you know? And I was looking at that and I was like, this makes me feel good. I've had a lot of good times in this shirt, a lot of good sets. Good fucking time. Then I had another shirt. I was like, oh, this girl broke out with me in this shirt. And I immediately was like,
oh, you're like bad mojo shit. I'm talking about like, oh, yeah, I put this on. This looks good. And imagine it's.
I'm talking about what she was saying. She's
you're
like,
talking about
breaking.
Real, like, this has positive energy.
Well, I'm just saying, I saw the shirt I was dumped in. I'm like, you know, I kind of want to throw this away. I was kind of like, really? I want a Chernobyl destroy all evidence of that day.
Well, what's the shirt? Was it like a.
Just a quiet, like a button up. It wasn't like the shirt was so bad she broke up.
Just like a white, like you have six white t-shirts, but you know that this white t-shirt is the one that you got. I can feel
it. I have like some sort of like Reiki detector to figure out where the negative energy. So I actually did that. You know, I kind of felt better.
You
so,
feel good? Did you clean up? Did you clean your room?
I'm already kind of a clean person, but I just try to do it to an extent. I mean, she was like really into like, oh, expunge your house of all filth. But so I was like cleaning dust off floors and shit. And honestly, I mean, you feel like you have your life together.
It does help. Cleaning,
I think that's like the quickest step. That's why they literally say make your bed. Because even if you're like a failed pile of garbage, that you could probably make your bed. And you're like, well, I can do one thing.
You make your bed every day?
I do.
Yeah. Do you make your bed every day, Cole?
No. Why would I do that?
Exactly, right? I haven't made my bed in.
Well, yeah, it just makes it look better. So when you come home, you're like, I have it together.
Sure, it's easily been.
No, I mean, obviously, it's like, well, who's that for? And you're
last time was like when I knew someone was coming over. Then it's been like four. It's been 4 months easily.
Right, but there is a difference when you walk in and you see like a blanket just made all over the place. It's like,
yeah, it does just, make you feel like, oh, yeah. This looks. I live here.
I really don't care, to be honest.
Well, I know you've been.
I've been in your apartment, man.
Yeah, we know you don't care.
make up your welcome mat before you make a fucking bed.
I don't get like internal validation or joy from.
I'm Cole.
Like
I have evolved past
bed.
All human needs.
That's how you justify when your mom was like, "Son, please just clean up a little bit." I don't get internal validation. Yeah.
I mean, I do. I mean, you call me a simpleton, but if I have like a press shirt in my bedroom,
no,
looks nice.
Yeah,
I
clean
feel
dishes
better.
Isn't like internal validation.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I feel better about my life. So honestly, out of all
the iron your shit,
I do now. I got an ironer. I fuck. Oh,
are
I,
you ironing like your clothes out for the week or some shit?
Not for the week, just like for nights out. Not today.
Where do you think he works? What do you mean iron your clothes out for the week?
He's saying he fucking irons out to like go out and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That does make you feel good though when it's iron because it's kind of warm.
Right.
And shit.
I feel like it's very warlike thing.
It makes
like, oh, they're gonna fucking. They're
gonna
know. It
makes you walk different. That iron, when you get an iron on, it makes you just woof.
Right. So out of all the self help, I don't know. I mean, I mean, she's a little extreme with her obsession with cleanliness. Yeah. Definitely unhealthy, but like just cleaning your room and actually just going around and being
it's
like,
healthy.
Does this thing,
it makes you feel better, man.
You know, give me joy. I think that's like a pretty productive way to go about
it. I think if you listen to this and this shit's dirty, then
I don't like the joy criteria though.
Yeah, I know you're not a fan of emotions in general, right? I mean,
no, but joy is like a temporary state, I feel. But like you might feel joy towards certain things, like in certain times of your life versus where you might not later or something.
Is this like are you practicing a breakup conversation on us right now? And then sometimes you realize that you've grown apart from those things. And you don't even connect anymore.
It's not you. It's that I just don't get internal validation.
I don't know. There's probably certain moments in your life where you might not be as capable as feeling joy as
that's
in other moments, right?
Right.
That is true.
And I mean, there's some things like a bedstand doesn't, I don't know if a lamp would fill me full of joy, but I really
you can need shit without bringing you joy, man. Like, I don't fucking.
But like, you could do this tidying up in a state where not many things are giving you joy, and
you know what I mean, does my Swiffer bring me joy? No, but it's still like useful to have.
I don't know, but I do. I maybe I'm superficial. I think having clean shit makes me happy because I'm like, oh, I got it together. And I think any.
Let's not joy, man.
I think no, it's the first step, though. I think anybody that if you're on rock bottom, you don't have it together, you're drunk all the time, miserable. Mm. You iron your shirt, make your bed. It would feel weird to come home in the middle of the day drunk to that, right? So if some part of your life's in order, then it's easy to make the rest of the part of your life in order.
That's true.
I had to basically do this process of going through everything and throwing it out when I moved, yeah. And I felt like my criteria was a little bit...
I mean, I got some of your shit, so not bringing you joy.
But yeah, that's actually where the iron came from.
It brought me a good bit of joy, yeah.
But my criteria was like whether I would want to pay $10 to bring this item across the country, which I feel is maybe a little more informative.
I think that's actually better. It's like, would I pay? Because I probably would chuck half my shit away.
That's good. It's like a $30 rule. Like, be like, that's better. Like a $30 rule. Be like, would I pay $30 for this thing right now? Like,
absolutely. Well, the problem is most of my stuff isn't worth $30, and it's like, well, all the shirts cost $10, so.
Or not if you had paid $30, but would you buy it again or something?
No. I mean, like, I wouldn't. Half the reason I own everything I own is because it's
like
cheap.
Yeah, that's like a thought I have. Like, you go out drinking and you wake up the next day and you're like, I wouldn't do that again.
Oh, 100%. Most evenings in my life, if I got to, like, beforehand see a preview of what it's going to be, I'd be like, no. They need to have, like, that. Like, you know, like, when you click on videos on Netflix, it's like a 30-second, like, this is what the movie. I wish it was, like, your friend's like, dude, we should hang out. And you see the evenings, just you guys doing coke and talking about 9/11. You're like, I'm going to skip one. I'm okay. I'm not going to do that today.
So. But I also feel like those things bring you joy is also, like, kind of a, like, not many people can afford. Because she advocates just throwing things out when they don't bring you joy anymore and then buying things.
Well, that's just new that's things part of that. Bring didn't we do that?
Joy.
Was that one woman that we
life.
Talked about a long time ago that was like trying to search for the most pleasure?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like her, where it's like, it's such a hedonistic pursuit.
That's like you have the money to fucking to go through with that.
Yeah, where it's like, the mattress I have, that took a lifetime to acquire. And it will take another a decade probably till we get a new mattress. So I can't be chucking the mattress away when it's not making me happy.
Most of us do not have the fucking money to just be wanton throwing our shit away.
Right.
Like that.
I mean, we share a laptop, for Christ's sake. You know? I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, a laptop that Kwame still owes me money for.
Again, support the Patreon so that we could actually finally.
Yeah, promote this to all your friends and family. That brings us joy, is when you guys share this fucking podcast to people that don't want to hear about it.
But
also for any listeners that are listening to this podcast out of obligation and not joy, don't listen to Marie Kondo. Just continue listening.
Yeah. Who's like has a gun to their head actually being forced to listen to things on Spotify?
Yeah. Don't do introspection to yourself about whether this podcast sparks joy or
when
not.
When it comes to introspection, should you stop listening to the podcast, you should just never have that, you know. Never really look any deeper than that. You know? Why am I spending my work day listening to three random idiots? Well, exactly. I mean, we don't need to be asking questions.
We bring them joy.
Right. Well, I don't sometimes. Some episodes probably keep it lukewarm. But
it
is
definitely ones that are a little phoned in.
You can't all be great. We can't all be.
Ask for a lot. They really don't know the amount of work that goes into this show.
Yeah, the amount of work it takes for me to show up 30 minutes late. I mean, it's just, I mean, the dedication.
We did get a review this week where we said we do sometimes phone in the second half, which I don't think is false.
Right. So do you think I was really phoning it in when I sat in your bathroom and drank my own piss and walked across fire? Would you really think that was what do I need to do? Do we have to recreate a two girls, one cup video for
I
people?
Meet
to
this boy. Who the fuck
understand?
Do you think you are? You're trying to tell us.
I commit more to this podcast than you do to your marriage, most likely. So you probably get the fuck out of here.
I think there's some truth in that. So
again, you
but it also made me think, you know, like that could possibly be the best self-help if we all had like Yelp review pages and to like try to change our behaviors.
Be dark. You're like too sad.
I like
star.
That. Like I watched that. You seen the Black Mirror episode of Nosedive?
Yeah. That is everybody what our life is though now though.
What do you say?
That's basically
not what our life is.
Social
up.
Media?
Shut yeah, up. Sure. People say that's what our life is. No, it's not. When's the last time you walk in a restaurant and someone was like, oh, you're kidding, the guy with two stars. And this is fucking
okay, happening. But if you see someone with a bunch of social media followers, you do think more of them if they don't.
Sure, but also if people don't have social media followers, not like people like shun you, people are like, yeah, who gives a shit?
I don't know, in the world we're living it, in our particular thing that we're trying to do.
Like, comedy and shit, yeah. For sure, yeah. Like, specific interests, but it's not like the average person, like, needs to have a Twitter or, like, has to have a Facebook.
But, I mean, when you're on those things, you see that's what everyone's trying to do is get the most validation.
For sure. I think just a pure app like that, though, where it's just...
It's just five.
And take away, like, you can't post anything. So it's not like you can, like, post your pictures and shit. It's just everybody has rating out of 5 stars.
I don't think the five-star rating is
Let's
that...
Let's see how Cole just, like, interrupt him right there. 2 stars. and everybody just has something like that. Infinitely better world.
No, I'd be a dystopian.
I think way better world.
We'll get you a bus. We'll get you a ticket to China, and you can live in this paradise that you want to live in. Yeah, the credit... When you're walking around flaving, you know, trying to call out political dissidents to increase your score.
Didn't you came over to my place the other day. You said the guy... You bought beer... From a guy at the gas station, whatever, you said he was a little rude. 2 stars, bet you he stopped doing
that. I could literally
shit.
Do that, though. I could go on Yelp and be like, that guy's an asshole. And
nah, but
business.
if it's to him, immediately he sees, oh, shit, I got a 2-star.
Probably kill
rate.
Me. He was a scary man with a neck tattoo. He didn't like me because I looked like a pussy. I mean, that's there's a fair. So
whoever that person is out there, there's going to be a renewed commitment to...
this sounds like a parent who's really trying to...
All right.
We're going to have a family meeting.
Yeah. We're turning the ship around this episode. Yeah, so.
It's